Cauldron Cast.
We're talking about children who remember the past.
Cauldron Cast. A bunch of crazy women. Cauldron Cast. Yeah.
There you go.
I love it. That's I love it so much. So, nice hello, ladies and gentlemen. Today, we're talking about past lives. Yeah, so I don't know about y'all, but I'll just start it from the beginning. I have been super interested in this and fascinated since Unsolved Mysteries way back in the day when they had the little boy who was telling his parents about when he was a fighter pilot in World War II. I think that was honestly first instance of hearing about this and just made me fascinated by it. So, Anna, anybody else want to share their first fascination or interesting experience with what made you want to be part of this?
I always thought it was bullcrap until my little sister started. I have a lot of siblings, the seven of us, and I remember my little sister, she was born with like extra fingers on each hand, and that's a superstition for us that, you know, you're reincarnated automatically if you have like extra fingers, extra digits. So she had like six on each hand, and they had to be removed. And she would literally act like my grandfather. Like, she would lay in the bed and, like, she would cross her legs like he did, tap her fingers on her chest like he did. And I remember one time I was babysitting her, and she literally was in the living room on the floor talking like him, saying, oh, this is my house, and I don't want this person here and that person here. And I freaked the hell out, and I sat in the living room all night until my mother came back. So ever since then, I was interested. Before that, I thought it was crap, but after that, I was like, holy shit. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep.
Did she ever, like, say a lot, or was it just really more the actions?
Originally, it was the actions, like, according to my mother and my godmother, like, her, like, the way she, you know, the way she sat up and, like, you know, she just had, like, his mannerisms. But that night with me, with her talking, I just freaked out and told my mother and him, oh, my God, like, this is so freaky that she would say, this is my house. And I don't want this person here, and I don't want that person here, because that was just basically my grandfather, you know what I mean? So that kind of, like, freaked the hell out of me, because, I don't know, for a kid that's barely one, who can barely talk, saying that, that's kind of scary. Yeah. And Marisol well knows I'm a chicken, so my ass was sitting in the living room on the edge of the couch till my mother came home.
Oh, man.
Hold up, my sister added to it. What did you say? So my sister's saying, because I remember vague stories about my cousin. She was born with a call. And my sister said my aunt remembers her turning towards her and talking to her, like actually talking to her. And she scared her. She, like, I guess she ran off the apartment and left the baby there and ran to get my grandmother because she couldn't understand why my cousin, who was a baby, was actually talking to her. So she actually left her. She ran. She left her and went and grabbed my grandparents because she couldn't. She was so freaked out. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Dadgum.
And I forgot about that. I forgot about that till my sister just came around the corner and told me that.
That's insane.
It really is.
It really is. Yes, it is.
Oh, that's so cool, though. Yeah, I have
it's
nothing.
It's cool unless you're the parent, Casey. It's cool unless you're the parent, okay?
This is true.
You got anything about Little Bit? I mean, the only thing I can say about him is he really does, like, have certain facial expressions that freak me out a little bit.
Yes. Okay. So if you don't know, my baby is named after my dad who, you know, died 7 years ago. And we kind of joked about it while I was pregnant that we marked him, you know, because like my dad, he was a great man, but like he had a temper and, you know, whatever. I kid you not, this kid has come out and he will have a little Kenneth Davis fit just like my daddy. He also does the little side smirks that look just like my dad. Just so weird. It's cool, but it's just, oh, God. It's the craziest thing.
And he looks like he wants to fight me all the time.
He does. He will fight us one day, Tara. He will. Mm-hmm. I will make sure.
I know.
Like, put up your dukes.
Exactly. I feel like he's going to have to take you in, Kim, on.
Oh, yeah. That will be a quick fight that Kim loses.
Sorry, Kim, if you're listening.
You guys just reminded me of something that I actually forgot about, but the more we're talking about it, I remember my brother, he's older now, he's in his 30s now, but I remember when he was a kid, and my sister will verify this, he used to say to us, oh, when I'm a grown-up, I'm gonna, no, when I was, he used to say, when I was a grown-up, he would say it like it was the past. He would say, when I was a grown-up, I had a motorcycle, and I had tattoos, and I had dreadlocks. I swear to y'all, ask my sister what my brother ended up looking like. He ended up driving motorcycles. He has tattoos all over his whole body, and he had dreadlocks for like 5 or 6 years. Like, it is not an exaggeration or a lie. My sister will verify. My little brother used to say it like he, I don't know if it's like he lived it as a past life or he knew what he was going to do in the future, but he used to say it. We used to correct him. We would be like, you mean when you grow up? He used to be like, no, when I was a grown-up. We'd be like, no, you mean when you're going to be a grown-up. He'd go, no, when I was a grown-up, I had a motorcycle. He would say it like it was past tense all the time. And then he ended up being like the exact personification of what he used to say. I swear to you, that was my brother. Like, it was so weird. He used to always do that. And then he ended up being that man. He ended up being that person with mad tattoos covering his entire body on a motorcycle with dreadlocks. And I don't know how to explain it because he used to correct us and go, no, no, when I was a grown-up, when I was a grown-up. But we thought he was confusing, you know, time, you know what I'm saying? Like, right. Past and future tense. Yeah, exactly. So I used to crack us up. We just really, we didn't take it seriously, but my brother legitimately became the person he used to say he was when he was a little kid. It was just, I don't know. It's just something to, like, when you think about it more, you just realize things, and it's just like, that was so weird.
Oh, yeah. So one sibling has a past life, and then another one is seeing the future. Awesome.
Very possible, because he swore that it was like, no, no, no. When I was a grown-up, when I was a grown-up, and we're like, boy, you're 4 years old. What are you talking about?
Oh, God.
It was so weird.
That's just insane.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I got to ask him if he ever remembers any of that, because my brother will, if it's something that scares him, he'll tell you, nope, I don't remember.
Wait, is this the same one with the, that's all the, excuse me, the Freddy Krueger?
Yes, it's the same one. Yep. Okay. Yep. He will literally clean his he, thank you, my sister just said it. He blocks it out. She literally just said it. He blocks everything out. He will look you in the face and say, I don't remember. And she literally just said it in the background. Yep, blocks it out. Yep, he blocks everything out. So you can never corroborate nothing with him. Because if it scares him, he's like, hell no, I don't remember.
I mean, yeah. You know, I can't say I really blame him, I suppose.
Yeah, true, but he just literally, he's not messing with nothing. He's like, nah, I'm good. I don't remember.
Oh, wow. That's just crazy. Yep. Yeah, see, I don't...
And like, yeah.
I don't have anything cool like that.
I'm just not trying to jinx you, but I'm saying yet.
Yeah, yeah. No, okay, so... And I know we've talked before, like, and I told y'all how I hear things around the house and whatnot. So, I was listening, I think, Jim Harrell's Campfire, I think is what I was listening to. And this chick was talking about how when she's pregnant, she experiences a lot more stuff. And it got me thinking, I was like, oh, that's weird. I don't think I've heard anything since I was pregnant. Like, since my son was born, I don't think I've actually heard anything.
Whoa.
Yeah, no. Like, I experienced a lot more while I was pregnant. And it didn't even, like, dawn on me until I heard her say that. And I was just like, what? So, apparently, it's a thing. Like, closer to the veil
or something. Some people experience more. Like, some people nothing. Some people experience, like, mad crazy stuff during then. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, crazy dreams and, I don't know, I've just heard stories. But it's just people either have a heightened awareness or, like, they block out something, stuff that they originally were really attuned to.
Yeah. I mean, I've had other things when I wasn't pregnant, but, like, I was hearing stuff almost daily, like, voices, like, to the point where I went and looked out my window because I was convinced there were two men standing out there. That's how much I heard them. I just couldn't make out what they were saying. But it was all while I was pregnant. And, like, the smelling people in the house that wasn't there... Pregnant. Okay.
Holy shit. Maybe it's a heightened awareness that's kind of like a protection. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to be aware of the physical world and the non-corporeal, you know, corporeal world. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because of old superstitions about, like, you got to protect your kids because you know, if they want to, you know how, like, I don't know, like, try to mess with babies and stuff like that. I don't know the full extent of that. I've heard superstitions based around that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. The only one I've ever heard, because, like, you're closer to the veil type thing, like, because you have someone who hasn't technically been born and been in the world yet, you're a little bit closer to the other side.
That's interesting. Yeah.
But then I wonder if any of that is because, not because they're, like, on the other side sort of still, but, you know, because not all pregnant women experience that. So, like, is it like you're picking up on, like, your kid's latent ability? I mean, for your sake, I hope not, but just saying. Yeah. Just saying, like, in general. I mean, I don't know. Oh, theory.
Or what if, you know what? What I always wondered, I'm just speculating, of course. What if, like, you know, younger kids are so brand new to the world that there's a small window where something else can literally, like, you know, take a chance and be like, hey, I want to exist and, like, and check, take over them. That's why you have to, like, have your kid christened or, like, you have to have them baptized, yeah, to keep them safe, you know what I mean? Because they're so new to the world, they see everything, so they're easy pickings.
Ugh, that's just terrifying.
Interesting, though.
Because if you think about when you're a kid, you see more shit as a kid. I know we all here have more memories of seeing crazy shit as kids than as adults. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's is that like a certain time between a certain age where like you're just more vulnerable and that your like parents or whatever, like godparents and parents have to take extra measures to make sure that you're not as vulnerable? Or I don't know. It makes you think about all these old superstitions if there's a reason for it.
Yeah. I mean, they do say kids see more stuff than we do.
Exactly.
Up until... And, I mean, I don't know. I can't cite this. I don't know where I heard it. Well, I heard, like, one or two, even. Like, they see a lot of stuff. Like, they can sense a lot of stuff then. And then it just gradually gets less as they get older.
Very possible. Shit is just scary. Because, you know what? That means that when you hear your kid screaming, go, Mommy, there's a monster in my room. Don't laugh at them. Take that shit seriously. Even if they're full of crap, go take it seriously. Listen, parents, take that shit seriously. This is coming from people who, like, you got to take that shit seriously, whether you believe it or not.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, I've heard that, like, you don't know what they're seeing. Like, it could just be their act of imagination, or it could be that, they're legitimately seeing something, and they don't know how to explain it other than it's a monster.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Because they don't know how to, exactly, they can't explain what they're looking at. Ugh, what was that, Marisol? Just... You're cutting out.
I said. I don't think there's such thing as an overactive imagination on a child.
I agree. But I think kids get brushed off with that excuse a lot, though.
Oh, definitely.
So wait a minute. You're telling me those shadows that I saw talking to each other when I was three?
They were really there, girl. Really there.
Oh, fuck.
Question is, Tara, did you hear what they said?
No, but I could clearly see. It was like literally picture two guys, like, dressed up like they were in the 1940s with the fedoras and the suits, and they were talking to each other.
So you saw hat men, like, really young. That's what they classify as hat men, the hat men.
Wait, what? I never knew. Hold up, what?
Yes, it's an actual phenomena. It's called the hat man. So a lot of people apparently have been experiencing this phenomena where they see a man in their room or in their house with a hat. It's either a fedora. 99.9% of the time, it's a fedora. They always describe it as a fedora. So it's either a fedora or some kind of top hat, something kind of like Lincoln-esque, and then they're wearing like a jacket or like a cape or something, but they call it the hat man. So you're literally saying that when you were a kid, you saw two hat men in your room or something. That's a hat man phenomenon. Look it up. It really is a real thing.
Oh, my.
That's some scary shit.
God.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep, that's a legit thing. Yep.
Yeah, and then some people end up, like, seeing them with, like, red eyes or something crazy. But, yeah, a lot of people have said they've seen them.
Yep.
What? Well, then.
Well then, yes, exactly.
You guys, You ever think about it, how there's always like a man phenomena? Like there's like the plaid man, the hat man. And then, like, everything is the man. Like it's, they're always masculine, kind of, like, male, kind of, like, I don't know. Like, the figures are always male. Like, I want to know what that trope is. Like, what is that that everybody sees the same crap, but it's, like, always, like, male? No one ever really sees any female men, in, like, any females in black.
Because there's rare encounters.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Slender woman.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, slender man. Like, everything is, like, do we all, as a species, see males as more like as scarier and more like dominant or whatever, so it casts a shadow on all the monsters we see? Or are all these things actually male? Like, it just makes me wonder, like, we're so scared we run off. What if it's a female standing in the corner with a hat on, but you're so freaked out you don't notice it? Like, why do we always assume it's male? It's just weird that it's always the men. The men are always seen as the scariest shit in your room.
I don't really think it's male. I don't really think it's female. If it's, what do you call it? Evil.
Androgynous?
Yeah, there you go. I don't think there is a sex.
It's very possible. I'm just saying the people who see it always say man, you know? Yeah, exactly. Like, I hear exactly what you're saying. I'm just wondering why people find men more threatening. And even men who have these experiences always say men. They call it men. Like, why does everyone find men more threatening as monsters versus, like, sexless monsters or female monsters? You know what I mean?
Well, I wonder if it's not that they find them more threatening, but, I mean, I know I've done it. Like, if you don't know the gender of a person, you tend to assume it's a man. Like, unless it's, like, overtly female, you know?
True.
So maybe that's more of what it is, and it's just, you know, you can't see the feminine shape, so you assume it's a guy.
Well, and then I wonder, you know, just another thought out here, what if it's like, you know how, like, some people posit that fairies and Bigfoot and aliens are all the same thing, but they're taking something from your mind and making that their form? What if it's something like that? I mean, just as humans, you know, have we been, that's usually who you see more threatening in life is, you know, the male archetype, right?
I'm glad you said that because I've dubbed it cosmic gaslighting. That's what I call it. It's cosmic gaslighting. I really truly believe that. I don't know if it's like gods or something or whatever. I really feel like there's something out there that really literally plays with your mind and becomes anything that you're afraid of or anything that it thinks will, you know what I mean? Just to mess with you. So I agree with you.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, it's a fascinating phenomena to try to figure out what is behind it. Like, what is the reason for that? But yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that it's all men.
Yep. It's so weird. I know that Greg Bishop has talked about that at some point about how we have to feed it or it feeds off of us. It needs us in order to become something.
Right.
So let's say if I'm afraid of potatoes, will I have an invasion of potato men in my room at night or something? You know what I mean? It just makes you wonder.
So now I'm like psychoanalyzing Tara and wondering, did her grandmother tell her too many gangster related stories or what?
She didn't. Okay. So Nan never told me about any of the mafia stuff until I was older.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
So I'm kind of like,
Tara.
What? Yes.
Maybe they're just the spirits of your grandmother's, like, past lovers come back.
But
that would mean she killed them all.
Not that, maybe she was just that good they just couldn't forgive her in the afterlife. See?
That all depends on one very important question. Are they dead?
Yeah, exactly.
But
some people have had people show up and haunt them that are actually still alive.
Yeah.
For backstory for people that don't know, I was very, very close to being the granddaughter of a mafioso crime boss. And yeah, no, she decided to go with the biker guy instead.
Awesome.
I'm just disappointed in Nan, that's all.
What can I say? Apparently his ass looked really great in jeans.
That That's always the way to judge character.
Yeah, but then I'm like, and an Italian man with money and power.
And will kill people when you ask.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Yep.
Come on, Nan, get it together.
Right. Ugh. But no, no.
I lying at Starbucks. Go get him.
I think it's funny though, how things are like, I don't know, lining up. It's like, is it coincidence? I don't know.
Well, have you guys ever thought, like, what if the reason we have fedoras and top hats and wizard hats and witch hats is because someone in the past saw something that already was wearing that? So what if the fedoras we wear now were inspired by these things standing in people's rooms?
Whoa.
The chicken or the egg.
See, and this is why, because you bring stuff, like, different perspectives on things, man. I've never thought about that before. That's, oh.
It's very scary. That people they have better style than we do. You know what I love is that we started off on one topic and we just delved into so much cool shit. Like, I'm just so amazed right now. This is awesome.
That's my favorite part of talking with y'all.
Exactly. Same. Yep.
And here I was worried we wouldn't have enough to talk about.
Do you guys ever have, like, I don't know, in your dreams or, like, as a child or at any point in your life, ever have, like, weird, like, visions of, like, a alternate life or a past life or anything that you consider kind of like a, like, reincarnation memories or anything?
Not exactly. I had a weird dream when I was 7 years old, and that, like, in the dream, I, like, grew up and got married to, let's just say, it never would have happened with this guy, and leave it at that. Yeah. And then I woke up, and it's, like, really freaky. So, yeah. Sometimes when I have deja vu, I'm like, am I still dreaming? I mean, that's more of, like, an Inception thing than a past life thing, but also weird. That's my only weird, creepy feeling, so.
Anybody else?
No, but I think I'm actually a very young soul.
You're so lucky. I think I'm 10,000 years old. Thereabouts.
Why?
Yeah, give us more than just that.
No, I was joking about the 10,000 part. I'm just saying old as in, like, I remember a few times I've had people who swear they're psychics tell me the same thing. And then now as an adult, like right now in my life, I experience the same crap over and over again. So I just feel like I'm old. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you were in battles and you used to die in battles. And now I always have injuries to my lungs in the same area as if I'm being stabbed. And you know what I'm saying? Like, so I always joke.
I have heard of that.
Yeah. So I always feel like I'm just experiencing the same shit over and over again, just in different scenarios. That's about it.
That's a lot.
I mean, I know Christy and I have joked before that, you know, we were mafia in the past life.
Yeah, I do. I don't like to talk about it, but I do have some thoughts.
Yeah.
Talk about it. Tell us the thoughts. What are the thoughts?
I mean, just have, like, a very, very strong attraction to capping people in the knees and, yeah. I'm just saying. I mean, everybody likes spaghetti, so we won't go with that one. But
well, then our family is just very, like, clannish too. You know, like you cross one of us, and the rest of us are gonna, like, immediately.
I feel like that might be Scots Irish.
I mean, that might be. I'm just,
like, actual clan.
I mean, it might be.
You know, I don't know which Scottish clan we come from, but I believe it. So, I believe it. Were we McDougals or Campbells? I don't know. Does it matter?
Back in the day, it did. You know, I have something weird. I do have an aversion. Like, it might just be me. You guys are probably gonna be like, what the hell? But sometimes when I'm near people and they're talking to me for too long, I don't know why it goes through my head about them getting shot in the head. That's not even a joke. Like, I literally, it's in my head all the time. Like, I don't know if I'm, like, remembering something, whatever, but I don't like when people talk to me too long in outdoors or in cars or something, because I always get the vision in my head of them getting shot in the head. Is that weird?
Do you see yourself shooting them, or just, like, a random sniper?
Like, it comes out of nowhere.
So you've seen all of us get shot in the head?
It's happened random times to a lot of people I've known and talked to, in either in moving cars or outside in the open. And so it's a weird background fear of mine, but I always tell myself, this is so stupid. Like, maybe it's from watching movies. You know what I mean? I always tell myself it's probably from watching a lot of movies, but I get this thing in my head, like, about them getting shot in the head, just out in the open. It's so weird, but it's been something that's been with me for a long time.
Maybe you were, like, Secret Service for JFK or, you know, Jackie Kennedy. I don't know.
It's just a weird thing that happens. I'm not even kidding. I'm listening to them, but I'm like, I don't even want to have this conversation because it's always something in the back of my head. It's so weird. It's like a weird aversion. I don't get it.
Yeah, that's interesting. Again, I kind of want to start psychoanalyzing you as well. So, but that didn't work out so well with the tarot one. So I'll keep my analysis to myself. So I'm just filing it away for future reference.
All right, cool. I might need it.
Well, okay, so, like, I know we've totally gotten completely off topic, but, you know, looking back, oh, and just for anybody, like, I was trying to fact check myself, and I actually can't find where that would have been on Unsolved Mysteries, but I swear I saw it on Unsolved Mysteries. If not, it was still
I believe you. I believe you because it's very familiar. I'm trying to think I saw the same episode because I remember them going to an Indian village after that, where it was some boy who claimed that he lived in a neighboring village and died there. I think that was on the same episode, because I remember him talking about, it might have been haunted kids or some weird thing, but I saw the same thing you're talking about. He was telling his mom he was in World War II, and he used to fly a plane and all this stuff like that, and she started researching it, and she found out the guy really did exist. I remember that.
Yeah, okay, so if any of our listeners can find the Unsolved Mysteries episode that would have come on late 80s, early 90s, I'd appreciate it, because I feel like crazy. Like, am I just remembering something else? Or was this truly when I was a small child and actually watched this on Unsolved Mysteries? Otherwise, I'm going to watch all of the episodes of Unsolved Mysteries on Peacock. And they're not our sponsors, but they could be. So,
hey, Peacock, pick us up. What up?
Yeah, because Peacock is pretty terrific. And yes, may I also say I like Brave New World, and yeah, gonna look at some more classics other than Unsolved Mysteries. But
while we're on the topic, so what's that shaving company? Also, hey, Netflix, what's up? We talked about you too. And Amazon, I just got my book from you guys. You want us to talk about you too? Anybody else have any sponsors you guys want to talk about? Because we should throw the phone in here just in case.
I do want to try Overtone, so yeah, I'm gonna try that soon.
So if you're there, you go. Overtone swag. Conditioner in lilac. What's up, people?
Hey, Madison Reed, I use that hair color. It's pretty awesome. Just saying.
There you go.
Let's get it all out. Let's
just start listening out all of them.
Essential water. I always buy your 50 fluid ounces, 50.7 fluid ounces. Holla at your girl.
All right. And on that note, why don't we actually go to a sponsor break?
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, so hey, welcome back.
Hey, campers, got a sponsor too.
Apparently, we're still on sponsor break. So talking back about the little boy, which, okay, so maybe this wasn't because apparently he was born in 1998. Totally looking at this, I'm like, really? I could have sworn it was much earlier than that. But yeah, so this kid was like at 2 years old had recurring nightmares about airplane crash, man on fire, little man can't get out, and would happen like 3 or 4 times a week. And his parents were like, oh, okay, this is weird. And then he seemed very familiar with propeller planes, so they brought him to a store, and like the mother picked up a propeller plane and told the little boy, hey, look, there's even a bomb here. And he's like, the 2-year-old, mind you, looked at the toy plane and said, that's not a bomb, mommy. That's a drop tank. So I'll be honest. that kind of, you know, freaked me out. But yeah, so then they went to Dallas and visited the display of World War II planes. And he saw let's see what they say here, F-105 Thunder Chief plane, and was mesmerized by it and literally stayed in the museum for 3 hours. And he refused to leave until they said they would let him watch real planes take off.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, like, so his aunts and things bought all kinds of other toys, thinking he's just obsessed with airplanes, so let's buy him cars and motorcycles and such. But he kept having these nightmares, and then one day they were telling him a story, and he laid down and said, "Mama, the little man's going like this," and kicked both feet towards the ceiling and said, oh, can't get out." And apparently he was doing this without emotion. They're like, "Who's the little man?" And the little boy said, "Me." Yeah. So I was like, this is already like, oh, okay, this is kind of creepy. And so anyway, called the dad and said, "Okay, what, tell him the story." And he said, "What's happened to your plane?" And the little boy said, "It crashed on fire." "Why did your airplane crash?" "It got shot." "Who shot your plane?" "The Japanese." I mean, that already right there, it's like so much detail, which, you know, and I kind of mentioned earlier in this show that, okay, well, you know, how do you know, do you really think it was, okay, Tina, your grandpa? Just because looking at Casey's baby, I see things that my dad does, but I also see that when I look at my other nieces and nephew, they do things as well. And so, like, how much of it is, you know, nature and DNA and just weird,
yeah,
you know, have propensity to do things, versus this story with this little boy who is like literally seeing details. And it's not like, oh, it's his grandpa, you know. But like, I really love your case, Tina, because there's some actual hard facts. I mean, you wouldn't get the words that grandpa said like that through your DNA, I wouldn't think. So yeah, so I will be watching Casey's child very, very closely. And if he hears things, or if he says things, or if he starts crossing his eyes at me, I might just lose it. So I'll let y'all know. So we got a couple years.
And while we're my baby, I just want to apologize if y'all hear him, because he's sitting with me. And yeah, so if y'all hear anybody, or, you know, any little noise, it's just my baby.
The little man, you're close.
He's the other member of the Cauldron cast.
Yes. So tell us, little man, tell us, what do you think? Do you know the secrets of the universe? Do you remember them?
Say yes. I just can't tell you.
Jesus says, tell us everything.
Can't find the words.
If he starts talking, I'm out.
What if we all do know the secrets of the universe, but we just can't talk at that age? And then once we learn to talk, we don't remember.
Uh-huh.
Exactly. If he starts talking, I'm in.
We're literally going to take him as a guinea pig and start questioning him.
I just imagine he's like Stewie Griffin, that he'll be like, "Oh, mommy."
Mother, I see I'm so sorry for things.
Yeah, just, you know, whenever we, like, caption my baby, that's how we assume he talks. "Oh, mommy. Oh, need some sustenance."
"Lois. Hello, Lois. She's going to be calling you Casey. Hello, Casey."
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
My sweet little man.
Oh man, so like this story, you know, that I had started like quoting to y'all, like the biggest thing that got me here is, you know, and given, you know, Casey and I's background, and we grew up in a Christian faith, and this is not in our belief system, and same thing for this little boy, it is not in his belief system, or his parents, you know. So it's like, what do you do? And I guess that kind of goes into other supernatural things that kids may be going through. How do you reconcile that? And I don't know. I mean, I don't got kids. I was a kid, but I don't have them. So that's, you know, that's just real interesting. And I know we've all had our own experiences, and many of us even as children. And, you know, that kind of gives me, you know, the big thoughts, the big thinks. How do you handle that when it doesn't fit into your current belief system? What changes? Or do you change?
It doesn't fit. I'm just saying it doesn't fit into our paradigm now, as we've been told for the last couple thousand years, but religions have shifted. There was a time when God supposedly had a wife named Asherah, and she was worshipped in Israel just like he was, and then things have changed. There's so many things that we're not taught now. So there was a time when people didn't have an issue with reincarnation or witchcraft or women doing medicine and all that stuff. It's now that we have an issue with it. So I feel like it's a current thing that we all have to adjust to, that we're all like, oh, reincarnation is like an abomination. It's like, it's, you know, we can't talk about that. That's not a part of our religion, because there was a time when it was considered a normal path in life. It was considered like a natural progression. You die, you come back as something else. Like, it's just something that we're told now is bad. But I just feel like because we're constantly told about things now being bad, we've confused ourselves so that we look at certain things as this can't be true because we were told it's bad, versus this is something our ancestors believed because this is the way they saw the flow of life, the circle of life. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and that's one reason, like, I'm kind of open to things like, you know, Bigfoot or ghost or whatever, because we don't know everything right now. Like, there are so many things that we can't explain, but that's not to say that one day we can't explain them. So
true fact.
I mean, that's why, like, just because I can't explain something doesn't mean I'm gonna just completely throw it away.
I agree. Exactly.
Say, if you only knew, huh? Say, yeah, if you only knew, guys.
Yeah, but again, I think, you know, Casey and I have had this discussion before. If you're not, if you can't poke and prod your beliefs, should you even have them? They're not, like, if you believe your beliefs are, what you call it? Help me out here, sister.
If they're, you know, so fragile that, like, one little piece of information can shatter it, that's, I mean, yeah, I don't believe that you're in the right position. Like, okay, for example, we've always been taught, like, Jesus, he didn't have a wife, you know, like, he grew up and he died. But, you know, then there have been some theories that, like, he married Mary Magdalene. There are people that are like, well, no, I just don't believe that because he wouldn't have done it and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, but does that change what you believe that he did, what you believe that he stands for? You know, and if the answer is yes, then, like, that's why. You know what I'm saying? Like, because, again, in our belief, like, we don't, you know, if he was married, what does it matter if he had sex? You know, like, exactly. It would be an issue, like, if he had had sex with her if he hadn't been married within the Christian faith. Okay, that I understand. You know, that would be, I think, akin to, like, blasphemous. Okay. But if he was married, that doesn't, like, God created the marriage. If you believe that, then it shouldn't matter, essentially. Like, that does not change the fact that, you know, you believe that he came down and saved you and all that. Does that make sense?
Yep. Okay. Yes, it does. Because people don't consider that. Just like we're fallible, so are religions. Religions are fallible because we're piecing it together and we're perceiving it how we perceive it. So there's going to be mistakes and there's going to be errors, or there's going to be misconceptions. Exactly.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, even, like, you know, with us, like, we'll talk and somebody will misunderstand something, and but that's okay, you know, like, but that happens. Who's to say that God didn't speak directly to all these people and some of them misconstrued it, you know, and did something slightly different?
Exactly. That's a cool way of seeing it, though. Like, he could have spoke to some people who just went on there and did some dumb shit because they didn't even comprehend it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I just think about myself. If God talked to me, I would probably be that one person that goes with some stupid shit. But I thought he said this. I thought he told me to go to Antarctica and melt all the ice and build a pyramid. Are you guys sure he didn't say that?
Oh,
my gosh. Yeah. Growing up, my parents, with my family, my family was very strict. They were Pentecostal. You weren't allowed to question anything that the preacher or the what the Bible said. But you should be able to question it, so that you could understand it your way. And you should be, and you should praise or preach or whatever. You should learn it your way. It's not, you know, everybody reads things differently. And if you're going by what the preacher says, then you haven't lived your life. On the other hand, I'm not Christian, and that's a decision that I decided at a very young age because I wasn't allowed to question.
Right.
And paganism was made sense to me. It was nature-based, you know, and how nature was all connected and how everything, I just didn't feel welcomed in the Christian community anymore. And, and I love my religion and I love following paganism. So, to each his own.
It's real interesting, you know, that just growing up in the household Casey and I did, because, okay, so when I had those things where I'm like, oh, okay, well, how do dinosaurs fit in again? You know, my mom wasn't like, oh, dinosaurs are bad. The earth is only 6,000 years old. Stop. Don't ask questions. Don't use your brain. No, because she's definitely of the mindset of, well, use the brain God gave you. And, you know, would help. Okay, well, this is how, she's like, I'm not saying I'm right, but this is how I believe it. And this is how I think it fits in. You know, and there were so many things, because I was one of those annoying little children. And be like, hey, what about this? What about that? You know, what? How do aliens fit in? So it was interesting. Yep. And just in case y'all are wondering what our mother thinks, she comes on the side of, well, there could be aliens, but she truly believes that they probably are humanoid. Because if God made us in his own image, then obviously any aliens would also be in his image. Therefore, they're going to be humanoid. So anyway, just in case you were curious there. But yeah, it's just interesting that we came from similar type backgrounds, Marisol, as far as religious beliefs. Yet, you know, I feel like, okay, we were, I mean, not in the church. I wouldn't like question things in the church because, you know, whatever. But with my mom, I totally did. And we were able to have like dialogues and back and forth and say, okay, this is, I mean, it also helps that she's had ghostly experiences. Yeah. I think that helps too. Cause she's like, well, obviously they're there. So.
Right. Well, and I think part of it, like our mother is very secure in her beliefs. Like one little thing changing is not going to change what she, like her core beliefs. And so she's willing to question and willing to try to make sense of it because I mean, I don't know where I was going with that, but she's very secure in it. So she doesn't mind questioning.
Which helped us, you know, over the years say, okay, well, and that's why I feel like, you know, hey, I can look at things and say, okay, well, this is how I fit it in. I don't know. I think we got off on a tangent there. Sorry, guys. But when you shared that, Marisol, I was like, ooh, I gotta share too, because mine's like completely different. And I just think it's interesting how those two paths diverge there. But I mean, we wouldn't call it Pentecostal. I mean, but we grew up in a charismatic church. Like it was not, you know, UPC Pentecostal. Like we cut our hair and wore pants, but it was basically the same kind of beliefs. And yeah, it's interesting. It's real interesting to see how, and that's, I kind of guess where I get into, well, if you can't question things, you're probably in a cult.
Yeah, pretty much.
I've said that multiple times. If you can't question it, yeah, that's a problem. And frankly, no matter if it, you know, if you're talking about Christianity or anything else, I mean, you think about how many of these, like, you know, Bigfoot people, it's like, are you in a cult? Because you can't question it. Therefore, are you in a Bigfoot cult? Because, you know, you get ostracized from, you know, and kicked out of things because you don't believe the same way everybody else does. I mean, I feel like you know, even in the paranormal world, it's very similar. It may not call itself a cult, but it kind of is. Okay, I can't question it. I mean, that's healthy. Questioning things is healthy, in my opinion.
You should be able to question. In the paranormal world, you should be able to question it. I mean, it's, not everything is paranormal, you know, and you should be able to.
Yeah, and that's just something, you know, listen to other folks' podcasts, listening to, you know, guests come on. That I always feel like is a resounding theme. You know, it's like if you're not, well, I'm not a flesh and blood blah, blah, blah guy, and I've gotten a lot of backlash for that. Blah, blah, blah. Nobody buys my books or nobody invites me to these conferences, so I had to create my own or whatever because basically I got ostracized and kicked out. And that... Yeah, that's, again, I'm chasing rabbit trails. So, but yeah, it's just, it's fun. It's fun to talk about. I like you guys. We do talk about a lot. Casey, I hope you're good at editing this one.
I mean, you know, I'm learning. I'm trying to keep mine on mute so I don't have to edit out all the baby cries, but.
Oh, I just meant my little rabbit trails, but.
Yes. No. So I like that.
Are there any other things like, okay, so I know that's something we talked about. Has anybody done any kind of past life regression that they'd want to
share? I just wanted to touch on what you guys were already saying because that was very interesting. I feel that the fact that Catholicism even exists just proves that you have to question everything. Mm-hmm. Because that's a religion that's an amalgam of pagan and Christian beliefs. So I feel like the fact that they had to take from all the pagan religions just to indoctrinate people and to create this whole super religion proves that they knew they didn't have the answers and they just wanted everybody under one umbrella. So it's just to me, it's just a shining example of why you do have to question a lot of things that religion tells you is good or bad. And then, something else you guys touched on regarding the Bigfoot phenomenon. I do think that some aspects of it is kind of culty. The people who feel that's just flesh and blood and do not look into the paranormal aspects of this creature that supposedly appears and disappears and acts similar to like having poltergeist-like activity and acts kind of like, you know, like something becoming of something that could be like kind of a, I don't know, extraterrestrial, whatever. It's like, no, flesh and blood, but you don't have proof that it's flesh and blood. No one's actually found anything. There, yeah, footprints or whatever, but no one's got any particular physical aspects to prove that this thing is flesh and blood. And yet, if you criticize, I wouldn't even say criticize, if you go against the norm or go against the grain and say, no, I think it's paranormal, they literally ostracize you. So I'm sorry, I really do feel like some aspects of the whole Bigfoot phenomena are kind of culty. And that's all I got to say about that. That's Tina. That's it. It's me. It's only my. That's what I feel about that.
Well, I mean, but you think about it. When you hear some of these guys talk about it, it's, oh, no, I'm not allowed to, or, like, I'm not going to look into that because that is ghosts, and I don't do ghosts. Oh, that's UFO, and I don't do UFO. So, yeah, I mean, I do think it's cool. Some of our mutual friends, our podcaster buddies, who don't subscribe to that, it's like, okay, I think that's great. It's like, why not look at everything? Keep a little more open mind.
Exactly.
You might learn something, or you might investigate and feel super validated in your own beliefs. So, I mean, there's that too. Like, question them, poke them, see if, oh, let me try, and oh no, I still think that Bigfoot's flesh and blood. Okay, cool. At least you looked at it.
But you just said something right there. I think. I'm tired of these people who say it as if it's 100% fact to them. Oh, Bigfoot is flesh and blood. No, dude. That's what I don't like. Say I think or I believe. But these guys are coming out there saying 100%, oh, no, he is. And they're making it seem like they have all the answers. And then what everyone else says is trash. You know what I mean?
Right.
Those are the people who are kind of making it culty.
Yeah. Well, it's very arrogant to assume that you know everything there is to know about something that can't be explained. Yeah.
Unless your last name is Henderson. I don't believe you about big feet.
Exactly. Bigfoots.
I think they're called Bigfoots.
Wow. Or Coleman.
Yeah.
Because Warren Coleman's got his feet on the ground. And, you know, like, there's people who just, like, they put their feelers out there and they're just like, you know what, I see a possibility of it going this way or veering that way. But they don't talk to you as in, this is what it is. Because that's the kind of, that kind of ideology is just trash. Because you don't have the answers. So stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you can say, hey, I believe this is the evidence I have that leads me to XYZ conclusion. But I guess it's like, don't pretend to be a scientist or objective if you're not.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, like that one time I had that battle on Facebook. Very briefly, people, I will not take y'all in the rabbit hole. But these guys told me that I don't know what I'm talking about. They had proof that Bigfoot was not only flesh and blood, but that it sent out some kind of like, not, what was that spectrum? It sent out and it would really like make you freak out or something. What's that wave, that whatever the hell? They said they had proof that it does that. I said, how could you have proof? No one has proof. No one has, where's the proof? Did you record it? And these two were arguing with me, telling me that they had proof and that I didn't know what I was talking about. And that's the kind of attitude I don't like. Don't tell me you have proof of some stupid shit that makes no sense. Do not do that. And so basically, and that's my whole point.
I'm not saying people haven't had experiences with the entity known as Bigfoot. Like, I'm not saying that at all. Heck, maybe they are flesh and blood, but they go through little wormholes or, you know, interdimensional portals. I don't know. But again, it's you don't have anything to make you say for certain that this is what it is. Done. End of story. You could be right, and that's fine, but show me something. Show exactly. me something.
Matter of fact, what did you say?
I said like Alice in Wonderland.
Exactly. Through the looking glass. Only Sasquatch would smash the glass and just fall right through it.
Yeah. Now, can you imagine what, like, the people in Wonderland thought about Alice? You know, because you're always focused because you're Alice, right? Like, that's your viewpoint as the viewer. But then think about it, like, I'm just this card who's trying to appease the Queen of Hearts. And now this crazy girl is going to get me, like, killed because she don't know the rules of this society. And I don't know.
Exactly.
Again, rabbit hole, sorry.
And no, I agree with you because I always wondered that about, no, I always wondered that about Oz, too. Like, they're all just living their lives, however miserable it is. And then here she comes, you know, falling into Oz and just disrupting everything and killing the witch and making shit worse. You know what I mean? Dorothy, mm-hmm. Like, you ever wonder, like, like upending the entire, like, what they consider normal. So it's like, that's kind of like disclosure for us. We're like literally the people in this little wondrous little land. And then this one thing that drops in and says, oh, literally, you're not the only thing that exists. Your reality is not the only reality. You know what I mean? It just like turns your whole world upside down.
Wow. That's, wow, you just blew my mind, I think. Dorothy was Oz's disclosure. Wow. Mind blown there. Mind blown.
Yeah, that's a really cool way of looking at it.
Oh, man.
Yo, Frank Baum was onto something.
Anybody else?
The Sleeping Prophet, Edgar Cayce, when he used to talk to people about their reincarnated lives. I remember I had a book about that. It talked about people who believed they came from Atlantis and people who were, like, Egyptian in their past lives. Somebody claimed she was Cleopatra. Like, there are also adults who literally get, like, hypnotized or they have some kind of regression and they claim they have, like, past lives and as fame. And it's always as somebody famous. They never have the life as I'm just the humble shoe salesman or I'm just, like, you know, the Pharaoh's servant who used to, like, bring his grapes. It's always some, like, somebody famous or something, which makes me wonder, is it always bullcrap or is like the only people who remember their past lives happen to be people who like were like impacted history in some way? Like, it's just so odd when you think about all the stories, because Edgar Cayce was kind of dope.
Yeah, and that's another one, you know, just so with Marisol, I mean, Casey kind of sharing a little bit about our upbringings, you know, everything he did was like completely against his own personal beliefs. And it just stressed him for a really long time, which I think is real, really interesting. But yeah, I always wonder about people who are like, oh yeah, I'm famous. I was a famous person. Because then that brings me questions. Okay, well, how can these 200,000 people all have been Cleopatra? Is it like, I mean, it, so then that brings up, okay, well, if past lives really are a thing, how does it work? Is it linear or is it, okay, look, I went to be Cleopatra and now I'm in the 1800s and now I'm back in the first century and now I'm back in the 20th century. Like, how does that happen? I mean, could it be, is it like, you know, Doctor Who, where you're reincarnated and you run against yourself? I don't know. I mean, any thoughts
that's,
on that?
You know what? That's very interesting that you said that. Not to cut you off, but you just reminded me of something. Exactly. How is it not linear? Because I would think that if you're living past lives, it would go in order of time. Like, you know what I mean? Like, my first past life would be, like, I don't know, like 30,000 years ago. Then after that, it's like 15,000 years ago, maybe 2,000, like maybe like 100. How come these people go in between past lives that are like not even like linear? It's like, are they remembering it out of sequence or are they just pulling out of their ass? Because I would think if you're living past lives, they would be in order as you live them. It's like so weird.
But then you think about the whole, you know, people say like, oh, they're an old soul versus they're a new soul. Like if you know, we're saying reincarnation and past lives are, you know, legit and this is actually what's happening here, could it be because it's not linear that when you have the old wise people back in the, what, 15, you know, or 500 BC, are there old wise people like from the future as their past life? And that's why they're, you know, they've learned those lessons in the future and now they're bringing them back to share. I don't know either.
It's just really,
I think about things too much.
Hey, maybe that's how they built the pyramids. Somebody was in the future, knew the geometry, knew the building techniques, and then went back in time and had all the knowledge.
Because Stargate, duh.
So maybe we are the ancient aliens. Whoa.
Maybe. It would explain a lot. We go back and forth and shit, and the government doesn't want us to know.
Exactly.
Kind of like the whatchamacallit, Academy, Umbrella Academy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just very curious because a lot of people associate this stuff with, like, oh, the devil, and, like, if you have this kind of gift or whatever, there's something wrong with you. But Edgar Cayce was kind of religious. Like, he really did, you know, I guess it was an accident he had or whatever, but that made him the sleeping prophet. But despite that, he was very religious, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Or as I remember it, I remember him being religious. So it's like, how did he reconcile being able to tell people about their past lives with the fact that religion is telling him that his gift is a curse? I don't know. It's just really, it's really weird to think. I mean, I feel bad for the guy just thinking back on it. I don't know.
Definitely, yeah. Because, I mean, that would be a hard thing, you know. Usually religions shun all that type of thing.
Exactly. But he made a lot of people feel special because they all claim to be Egyptians and Atlanteans. And we still don't have proof of Atlantis, but a whole bunch of people supposedly were from Atlantis. Like, come on. Really?
Exactly. I mean, why can't they, like, bury something? Like, ooh, this is how I'm going to prove it, you know? And then be able to go back up.
Exactly. Just weird. But it was just reminding me that he did prove Bimini Road. Because right after he said that, they found Bimini Road. But I don't remember if they found anything at the base of the Sphinx. That was his other prediction. Unless they did and they never told anyone anything.
Right.
Remember he said there was something at the paws of the Sphinx, like some old room with some, like, catacomb with some books or something that was supposed to tell, like, the whole history of humanity. But no one ever said anything about it, but they did find Bimini Road. They found the whole entire thing from Bermuda to whatever. They actually found the Bimini Road. That's, I don't know. I kind of believe in reincarnation. I just don't know how it and why it happened. Why would it happen to some people and not others? Like, do you really, like, instead of, like, going to heaven because you didn't finish, you get dropped somewhere else into another life or something? Or do you have to have a traumatic death in order to get dropped into a new life? Or, like, what is it? Like we don't know, like, the causal, you know, the reasons for it, the effects to get someone to have to jump into a whole new life and start all over again, you know?
I think is until you get it right.
Yeah. Oh, well, I guess I'll be coming back a few more times. Fuck!
I think it's punishment until you get it right. Keep messing up, Tina.
I'm tired already. Like, come on. Just let me go through the gates and let me just, I don't know, let me do a little sexual favor for St. Peter. I don't know. I just need to hurry up and get in. Casey took off her headphones like, no, I don't want to hear this. And got up.
Oh Lord. Oh no. Yeah. No comment on why she's still muted. Kiddo spit up, so she's gonna take care of that. So I know all of our listeners were thrilled to hear that, but yeah. He's a baby, get over it. It's fine.
For all you ultra religious people, don't worry, you have no idea what I just said because it was cut out.
Oh man, it's craziness though. Yeah, I mean, this is just such an interesting topic. Like, it fascinates me, but also I'm like, I don't get none of it.
I think the cool thing about it is just the knowledge that we don't have the knowledge. As long as you're really willing to accept that you don't have the answers, you're always, like, willing to look for them. But people who are just stuck in their ways and think they have the answers, they're never going to look forward. They're never going to see the forest through the trees. And that's kind of sad.
I totally agree.
And on that note, since I've already watched Evil, can you guys give me some other, like, you know, shows to watch? Because I'm really, like, in a slump now because I don't know what else is going to be as cool as that. I never realized that was going to be so awesome. I really like that show a lot.
Not as cool as, but I do like Brave New World on Amazon. I mean, not Amazon, Peacock. That was super interesting. Because it diverges a little bit from the book, but it's okay.
It's so funny you said that because I'm literally looking at my copy right now by Aldous Huxley. I'm like, okay, this book was kind of like, it's kind of, for me, it's hard to picture it being filmed. So is it, you know, how would it translate into a show is what I'm saying. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So they definitely had to make it a little more up to date. So that's been super interesting.
And yeah, because there's a lot of aspects of it that kind of racist. So I would like to wonder how they, you know, rewrote that stuff. You know what I mean? Because we know that's kind of there's some questionable shit in there.
Yeah, they don't really, I mean, like, in the TV one, it's not, like, race per se, because there's people of all, like, what we consider race in all of the different classes, but it's still very much alpha, beta, epsilon, all that jazz.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. If you like funny, The Duchess was pretty good. It was kind of horrifying, but fun. It's about this Canadian girl in London, and she's some kind of sculptor, and she's raising this, like, 10-year-old daughter, and her ex is a burned out boy bander. And it's about, like, her dating life and all the crazy. But that one made me laugh.
That sounds cool. Can you guys hear me?
If you like Wallander, Young Wallander was pretty good, too.
Okay.
If you don't mind subtitles, Rita, it's in Danish.
Oh, I don't mind that at all, because I watched Dark, and I love Dark. And Dark is pretty much, like, I don't like it dubbed, so I watched it with subtitles.
So, I mean, you snacker dansk. I really don't, and I cannot pronounce Danish, but that's, I've attempted to say I speak Danish in Danish, but you really just, it's hard. It's a hard language. I can read and write it, sort of. Very basic level.
It's very interesting language, but I want to know if you guys have ever have any of you tried to watch Dark?
What is that?
Dark, because of the what we were talking about right now, I think you guys would be very interested in it. It's a mix of 411 and like sci-fi, like, you know, time travel. And it's awesome. And it's like it's two seasons in right now and it's just like freaking amazing.
Like, I have it on my list.
Yeah. I really think you guys would be, it would trip you guys out so much that I guarantee you guys would be like, oh, we have to talk about this. We have to have an episode about this because Dark is trippy as hell. It literally takes all those aspects and the story is so cohesive that you're like, this shit could possibly happen. It's just crazy. Like, it's just, it really is trippy as hell.
Oh, okay. I've watched the first episode of this, or part of the first episode, and then somehow lost it. I don't know if you've told me about it before or if I randomly found this, and then I lost it. So I'm going to pick it back up. Thanks. Thanks for the reminder.
No problem. Yep, it has three seasons. So just so you guys know, I'm in the middle of the third season. That's why I told you guys I was trying to be honest. I only really watched like the first two because I'm like literally like 15 minutes into the third season, so I can't judge right now, but it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, while we're talking about movies, and to tie it in to our topic today, watching, was it Robert Downey Jr. and Cybill Shepherd in Hello Again? That also fascinated me.
I haven't seen that movie in years.
Yes, I loved it.
Where did you watch it at? What platform?
Oh, no. Like, TBS back in the day.
Oh, okay. I haven't watched it recently. Oh, okay. Because where did you find it? I haven't seen it recently either, so I'm like, where did you see it?
Is that Hello Again? Or is Hello Again the one with Shelley Long, who chokes on a chicken bone and comes back and interrupts. No, sorry, that's not the name of it. That's with Shelley Long. That one's also funny, but completely different.
Yeah, Hello Again is from 1987. It's Shelley Long and
Stella
Ward and Corbin Burnson and all of them. I'm looking at it now. So yeah, that's the one. That's the comedy. That one, I have not seen that movie since I was a kid, and you don't even ask me questions about it, because I could not recall it. I just remember the actors and stuff. I don't remember the particulars, because that movie, it's been years.
Okay, let's see. Okay, this one is Chances Are.
I was about to ask you if you're talking about Chances Are. I swear to God, with Robert Downey Jr. I was about to ask you that.
Yeah, because he's hit by a car and dies, but, like, finds the next kid out of there, and 20 years later, he meets his widow.
That's so creepy. Wow. I remember that movie. Yep, it's so funny that she said that, because when I was looking for the other movie, I saw Chances Are. I'm like, wait a minute, I watched this before. And as I click on it, she goes, wait, it's Chances Are. Yeah, I vaguely remember that one, too. Damn, there's a lot of stuff that as kids we watched that we didn't even take a second. Like, if you think about just, like, stuff like, Look Who's Talking and all that stuff, things that were kind of, like, paranormal-esque because you got little kids talking in the womb and coming out and they're, like, talking like grown people. And then we have these things of people being reincarnated. And to us as kids watching this, we thought it was, like, normal. But it's, like, you know, we were surrounded by that kind of imagery, like, from young ages. It's just so fascinating to think about.
Yeah, it really is. Like, what's going on? Are they preparing us for something?
Or are the filmmakers and producers, like, do they all have experiences with this stuff and they just want to tackle it in some kind of fictional way?
Bingo.
The same way Spielberg is trying to always tell us things, but he just throws it in film. I'm on to you, Steven. I'm on to you.
Okay.
Cool, because I remember Heaven Can Wait. I remember Switch. I actually enjoyed Switch. I'm looking at all the movies that are kind of like similar to that. You know what? Yeah, there's a lot of spiritual shit that we watched as kids that we just thought were pure comedy. Kelly and Tracy.
Anybody else have fun ones they used to watch?
I watch a lot of 80s that were like, what was it, 18 Again?
Yep.
One where the grandpa and the grandson switch.
It was George Burns, right?
Yes, yes.
Because I remember that movie too. Yep. I don't remember the title though. It was with George Burns. I remember it. So I'm going to type it in right now so I can find the title. Hold on.
I think it was 18 Again.
Oh God. Oh God, you devil. Yep, 18 Again. It was George Burns and Charlie Schlatter, his grandson, played by Charlie Schlatter. Schlatter. Yep. I remember, and Red Buttons. I remember Red Buttons too. Damn, this movie was so, this was 1988. Holy crap. Remember Like Father, Like Son?
Yes.
There were a lot of, you guys think about it, there were a lot of movies where people switched bodies and shit. Like, there were a lot, there was like a, it wasn't like a trend or something, because there were a lot of movies like that where like people were just like coming back. Exactly. And then you had then you had Big and 13 Going on 30, where people were just literally coming back as adults, even though they were kids. They were coming back in adult bodies. It was just, oh my God. Like
vice versa.
And Freaky Friday and all that stuff. It was like a whole trend of that stuff.
Yeah, 1988. Okay, let's see. Vice Versa, 18 Again, Big, all came out in 1988. Yeah.
It was a huge trend of stuff like that. That's so
like
funny.
Father, Like Son with 87. That's crazy. Oh, wow. I think we just uncovered a lot of things from our childhood.
We did. We've been indoctrinated. We've been indoctrinated since childhood.
Seriously. I think we were.
Well, ladies, we got anything else to cover or are we good to go?
We're good.
Yep.
I think I'm good.
I think we're good.
So that seems super interesting.
Casey dissed us. I think we're fine.
Sorry, guys.
Cauldron Cast. Cauldron Cast. We're missing Casey. It's Cauldron Cast.
Hey, my baby needed food.
Excuses.
Your old sister said excuses.
Yeah, I missed that. My stupid headset muted everybody.
Awesome.
So
you
I
said
reject
your baby needed food. I said excuses. You're caught up.
Don't forget who edits this and makes y'all sound better.
I love you, Casey.
Exactly.
My favorite sister. Cauldron Cast. Casey just paced this in Cauldron Cast. Cauldron Cast. Cauldron Cast. We talked about little kids.
Don't forget
talked
to
about
edit.
Lives that passed. Yeah, don't forget to edit. Cauldron Cast. Woo!
All right.
Justice for female cryptids.
Woo!
Yes!